ready.
Man, this whole society got our women looking at themselves crazy, man. Can you imagine if a dude was walking around talking about he didn't want to wear a pair of khakis because it made his dick look big, man?
For real talk.
You ain't ready for the relationship your grandmother and granddaddy had. You ready to leave your dude if he don't text you back fast enough.
All the time.
And see, that's what's so crazy to me, right? Because you can be against police brutality and not want cops to die. The two ideas ain't mutually exclusive.
Welcome to the Span Report with your host, Mr. Span.
Everything I love, it's we the best music, it's we the best over everything, get money, more money.
Every time we come around, balls going up, panties going down. Every time we come around, you all throw that money up, and catch it coming down. Every time we come around, baby let me blow on it on.
Check on me, know I got that nine on me. Play with it, it'll get religious. These shots will make your shirt holy. Say please, Lord, forgive a nigga. Acting up like Ben Stiller. Jury on me so fucking cold, I gotta wear it with a chinchilla. I ball on these fuck niggas. Bron, D-Wade, whip white like cocaine. Too dope, Rick James, I'm hard body, my flow sick. That eagle on me, no Mike Vick. High bobbing, weaving that pussy girl that I knock it out like Tyson. Say first round, face down, ass up, straight pound. Yeah, shawty, she know the deal. And that's every time that I come round. This big business, I come around. Smoking on that.
I'll be goddamn. Oh, shit. Yo, what's going on, everybody? Welcome to the Span Report Podcast. I'm your host, Mr. Span. This is episode number 149 of the report. And title is out here fucking up right now. Like, real talk. I was jamming to that shit, man. And it's just like stopped and then decided to start over. I can't fuck with that. So, title, y'all need to step y'all game up. I'm paying way too much motherfucking money for that kind of shit to happen. $20 a month for the hi-fi, dog. $20 a month for the hi-fi. Get that shit together. Real talk. But what's going on with y'all, man? Well, this is Mr. Span, and this is episode number 149 of The Report. Welcome to everybody in the chat room. Welcome to everybody who's going to listen to this later on. We do this every Thursday and Sunday night. And yeah, man, we got some stuff to talk about. We got a lot of stuff to talk about, man. Real talk. And of course, before I get into everything concerning the show, man, I gotta let you guys know how to get in touch with me here at the Span Report Podcast and let your voice be heard, man. You can hit me up at the hotline at area code 313-288-0485. That's area code 313-288-0485. Leave me those voicemail messages. I'll play them on the show, respond on the show, and also later on in tonight's show, I will open those phone lines up so you guys can call into the show live. You can chop it up with me while we're doing this tonight. Also, you can email me at feedback@thespanreport.com. That's feedback@thespanreport.com. Leave those emails. Of course, I'll read those emails live here on the show as well. Follow me on Twitter and Instagram. My name on both of those platforms is Mr_Span. So go ahead and follow me there. We can chop it up throughout the week, man. Get our little dialogue going. You know what I'm saying? So we can do that. Also, subscribe to the show on YouTube, man. We do the show every Thursday and every Sunday night on YouTube. So you subscribe to the show, man, you get alerted. You get the email that, yo, the Span is going live. The Span Report is going live. You can, again, participate in the chat room. You can call into the show live, man. And you can watch what's going on here, man. So when I do these videos, man, when I present these videos and these news articles and whatnot, you can see what's going on as we're doing the show, man. So go ahead and subscribe to the show. Look for the Span Report on YouTube, and I should come up. Or Span TV. That was my old moniker back in the day. But you can find me on either one of those on YouTube. And for all of your Span Report needs, man, go to www.thespanreport.com. All of the podcasts are available there. The videos are available there. The polls are available there. We still got our all-time greatest hood movie poll. We're down to the final four. So you got that going on. You can leave comments on the Span Report. You can donate to the show as often as you like and as much as you like on thespanreport.com. T-shirts are available at thespanreport.com. Everything is available at www.thespanreport.com, man, real talk. So go ahead and do that. It helps out immensely here at the show. And for those of you who are using iTunes devices or iPhones, man, go ahead and leave your boy a 5-star review, man. Preferably the 5-star reviews get read here live on the show. Also, Stitcher Radio, man, if you decide to leave a Stitcher Radio review, preferably 5 stars, those get read here on the show as well, man. So it's all ways that you can help the show here, and you don't have to spend a dime, man, to do it. It helps the show grow. It spreads the word, man. And it's very much appreciated here at the Span Report, man, real talk. But like I said, man, we got some stuff to talk about, man. And ironically, this is going to be one of the first shows in quite a while where I don't really talk about Donald Trump. Right, we're not gonna spend a whole lot of time talking about Donald Trump tonight, man. We're gonna we got so much more going on, and as much as I, you know, don't necessarily like talking about Donald Trump, it's like it's so much going on in the news concerning that asshole that I sometimes feel compelled to cover it. So that's going on, but we're gonna talk about him Sunday, right? Excuse me, we're gonna talk about him Sunday. So that's gonna be a thing, man, real talk. But we got a lot of things, man, to talk about, man. We got Jerry Sandusky's son being arrested for something very similar to what his dad was arrested for, man. Playboy has decided to bring back the nudes, man. They're bringing the nudes back. So we're going to talk a little bit about that. Mike Ilitch, the longtime owner of the Detroit Tigers and the Detroit Red Wings, passed away earlier this week. So we're going to talk about that. Also, we got a new member. We got a new episode in the special HOTEP unit, and we're going to talk about that later tonight, man. So like I said, we got quite a few things to talk about and to get into for tonight's show, man. And of course, as always, man, we got you guys. We got you guys. If you want to talk, if you want to call into the show later on when I open those phone lines up, you guys can call in and we can discuss what it is that you want to talk about here on the show. But yeah, man, I had a couple random thoughts. Had a couple things that kind of popped into my brain earlier today, as a matter of fact, man. These are some of those things that, like, you know, just kind of, it's just one of those, you know, like, man, you know what? I don't want to, it's just random. That's what it is. They're random. Random thoughts, right? So one of these thoughts that I kind of had was, let me change the screen. You guys are still looking at the feedback screen. But one of these thoughts that I was, that I had, man, was that, like, I'm getting a little older. This year I'll be 37 in June. I'll turn 37 years old. And one of the things that I was kind of thinking about, the older I get, is I noticed that, you know, not, and it's not just my friends, but even me sometimes, we tend to wax nostalgic about how things used to be, right? We talk all the time about, you know, back in the day, man, we used to do this and it was so cool how we used to have this and, you know, you didn't have to worry about this. You know what I'm saying? And it's like, it's a generational thing, man. Every generation goes through it where after you get older and you don't necessarily understand the things that these kids are doing, you start to, you know, kind of wax nostalgic about wanting to get back to your childhood or wanting to get back to where times were a little bit more simpler for you, right? This whole adulting thing isn't all as cracked up to fucking be. I kind of wish that I had it. I kind of wish that I was a kid again sometimes, right? But I don't want to be that ornery ass old dude who's always talking about how things used to be or the back in my day. I don't want to be that guy because I remember how when I was younger, how often I, like, despised, like, those old head motherfuckers that used to talk all that shit about the things that we liked and the things that we did because it wasn't what they did and what they liked and it wasn't cool. I hated that shit. And I know I see it. I see us now becoming that generation where we're talking down about what the kids are doing, worrying about how the kids are being perceived or basically not being carbon copies of us. In the way in which the generation before us was kind of like shaming us for not being carbon copies of them, right? I don't want to be that ornery ass old dude, man. Be like, nah, see, back in my day, we used to, like nobody gives a shit, man. And to be quite honest, some of these old heads be lying like a motherfucker. Real talk, it wasn't always sweet. It wasn't always cool. Their stories grow and grow and grow in magnificence with every passing year, man. I don't want to be that old dude that just, like, hates everything the young kids are doing. And I see some of my friends, man, we fall into that. And I've done it myself too. But I'm noticing it more and more, like my friends and my family and those around me falling into the trap of being the old head people we used to hate. So I don't want to be that guy, man. I don't want to be that guy. I'm trying to understand more than criticize the young folk. You know what I mean? I think that's one of the mistakes that a lot of the older generation tends to make, man. We sit to the side and we watch and we critique, but we don't actually seek to understand. And so that's my goal, to seek to understand what's cool and how it got to be that way, as opposed to just not rejecting it simply because it wasn't from my time, right? So we got that going on. Another thing I was kind of wondering about earlier today, man, this kind of happened as I was coming home from work. I drive a big truck, man, like a big ass dump truck with a big ass machine that I'm towing. And like sometimes, man, like folks cut me off, you know, folks like, you know, they don't like being around big trucks and whatnot. And I get it, man, because when I'm in my car, I don't like being around big trucks neither. But some of y'all drive real fucking reckless around big trucks and y'all make it hard for a nigga, man. Like real talk, like hey, people will cut me off and it's hard for me to stop that goddamn thing. And it's always funny to me when I see somebody driving a fucking hoopty, driving really motherfucking aggressively, right? Like every time I see someone driving a hoopty, someone driving a bucket, someone driving a car that got dents all over the place, the bumper hanging off the motherfucker, you got, you know, a garbage bag for the black back windows and shit, you know what I'm saying? The windshield wipers don't work, your door don't open on the driver's side, so you got to get in on the passenger side and climb over the seat to get to the driver's side, man. Y'all drive so goddamn aggressively, and I always wonder every time I see these people, like, yo, this motherfucker really didn't learn their lesson now, did they? Right? Because the car wasn't always like that. Y'all apparently have been fucking these cars up. Right? It wasn't always like that. And so every time I see somebody driving really aggressively in these cars, I kind of get irritated. But then at the same time, I also recognize that it's because they're driving these cars. It's like, yo, I ain't got shit to lose. It's a piece of shit already, but you got everything to lose, right? Especially if you got like a nice whip that you don't want fucked up. Oh yeah, you got everything to lose. They have nothing to lose and everything to gain sometimes. Especially here in Michigan, man, with these damn no-fault insurance laws, man, where, like, you get into an accident and somebody can just have no fault and you don't get anything. You know what I mean? Like, it's we have some of the highest insurance rates. As a matter of fact, we have the highest insurance rates in the nation because they're the no-fault insurance law here in Michigan, man, which they kind of need to get the fuck rid of because I'm tired of paying more for my car insurance than I pay for my fucking car note. It's ridiculous. Real talk. So, yeah, man, that's going on. That is going on. And those are a couple random thoughts that I had over the course of the day, because those happened, you know, earlier today, right? But one of the things I kind of wanted to talk to you guys about today, man, was the fact that Jerry Sandusky's son, Jeffrey Sandusky, was actually arrested for soliciting sex from underage girls, right? So I'm getting this story here from CNN.com. And it says the younger Sandusky, 41, faces 14 counts, including soliciting sex from a child under age 16 and soliciting child pornography. The charges include incidents with two girls, one in 2013 and one in 2016. The alleged crimes were uncovered late last year when a girl told her father that Sandusky had texted her repeatedly asking her to send him naked photos. The father contacted the police, and in the course of the investigation, police discovered another girl known as victim number two, who said that Sandusky had asked her to engage in oral sex with him years before. Both victims say Sandusky tried to use different excuses to try to get them to participate, saying at one point that he had studied medicine, and another time that he believed that victim number one had shared a nude photo with her boyfriend and he wanted to see it. Sandusky was arraigned Monday, and a preliminary hearing has been scheduled for February 22nd. Sandusky is being held in county jail on $200,000 bond, according to the documents. Now, you know what? When I first heard this shit, the first thing that kind of came to my mind was just like straight up,
God damn!
How in the fuck? How? How in the fuck does this continue to happen in this family? And you start wondering, like, what did his father do certain things to him? You know, because I don't want to be speculative, but it's like, it's too close. Like, it's too close to have, like, a father being locked up for molesting young boys over the course of years, and the access that he had to them while being an assistant coach at Penn State University. And then for his son, not even like a decade later, maybe 5 years later, being caught up on the same thing. Now, the only difference being that he was actually trying to get at underage girls as opposed to underage boys. But the fact remains that there is something inherently wrong with some of the men in the Sandusky family. Like, how do you find yourself in that position? What impulses are driving them? It's something that I've always found like kind of fascinating. Like, what is it? What is the impulse for to be attracted to these children in this way? And not only that, you know, your father is locked up for this very same thing, for molesting underage boys, for engaging in sexual acts with underage boys. Your father is locked up, and everybody in the world knows it. Right, it's not as if it's like a secret, and everybody's like, you know, nobody knows who your daddy is. Yeah, everybody knows who your daddy is, and they know it because of some really fucked up things he's done. And you follow in his footsteps in the exact same thing? Like, how? And it's just one of those.
God damn!
Like, really? They should have like burned all of you motherfuckers. Like, just napalm the whole house and start over with the Sanduskies. Like, real talk. Like, oh my god. So. Also, like, this article goes on to say that his mother, Dottie Sandusky, was emotional at the hearing and said that her son was innocent. They also said that Jerry was innocent, despite all of the evidence to the contrary. And you gotta kind of feel for their mom, but at the same time, I wonder, like, how much of this did she know about as well? You know? I kind of wonder whether or not, of course, this is mom. She's going to cover for him. But how much of this does she know about as well? She has been a staunch defender of her husband, Jerry Sandusky. Jerry Sandusky was at the center of a child sexual abuse scandal that rocked Penn State University in 2011 and is currently in prison. A grand jury report accused Jerry Sandusky, a retired Penn State defensive coordinator, of sexually abusing 8 boys over at least 15 years. Wait, I lost my damn spot. Okay. A report conducted by former FBI Director Louis Free accused Penn State leaders of showing a total and consistent disregard for the victims of sex abuse and covering up Sandusky's abuse. The scandal led to the firing of legendary head coach Joe Paterno and University President Graham Spanier, as well as charges for other administrators, man. So we know the history of Jerry Sandusky. So to see his son get caught up in the same bullshit, it's like, how in the fuck do you allow that kind of shit to happen? How do you, what impulses are driving you to think that you're going to get away with this? And not only that, your name is Sandusky, right? You're the son of Jerry Sandusky. They about to throw the book at your ass. Rightfully so. They about to throw the book at you, nigga. So yeah, man, like, that's how I just can't fathom. I can't fathom the thought processes that goes through the mind of someone like that to think that they can not only get away with this, but also how you're finding like these children attractive in that way. I don't get it, man. I don't get it, man. Real talk. But switching gears, man, to something a little bit more. Well, it's not actually good news, but something that not so sinister as to what's going on with Jerry Sandusky's son, Jeffrey. But here in Detroit, man, a very important person passed away. Mike Ilitch, who was the founder of Little Caesars Pizza, the owner of the Detroit Tigers baseball team and the Detroit Red Wings hockey team. Really big city developer, man. Really, he invested so much into the city and was investing even more, right? So you look at the fact that Mike Ilitch not only built an empire with Little Caesars Pizza, and like he really built that, like Little Caesars really like boomed with the $5 hot and ready, man. I can't tell you how many times that you'll go to or some kids, man, like you going out for the night and you want to make sure the kids eat, yo, get like 2 hot and readies. They'll be all right. right? Like, I've seen parents just do that. Like, yo, get two or three hot and readies, man. That's dinner for the night for them. We going out tonight, right? And so he built an empire off of that pizza and was able to buy the Detroit Tigers, was able to buy the Detroit Red Wings, invested money into the city, the Fox Theater, which is one of the more iconic theaters in the country. A lot of your major musical acts, comedy acts come to the Fox Theater when they visit Detroit. They usually perform there. That Fox Theater was gutted, man. It was like an abandoned building. It was like left to die. And Mike Ilitch decided that he wanted to restore it, and he did so. And not only that, he put the Little Caesars headquarters right there in the Fox Theater building. And he invested so much money not only into that, but then you look at like the monies that went into the building of Comerica Park, which is right across the street from the Fox Theater. You look at the Little Caesars Arena, which is actually going to open up, I believe, later on this year. It's scheduled to open up later this year. And the amount of development that's going on in that particular area of town where there really was nothing there. Like, literally, it's like one of those things where it's like, yo, it's like a bomb went off over there and there was like ruins. And now you got, you know, mixed usage over there. You got the stadium that's going up there. You got the apartments and the condos that are going up there. You got the businesses that are opening up around there. You got the Detroit Pistons, who are also going to move out of Auburn Hills back into the city of Detroit, into the building that Mike Ilitch's family is building. Right. You look at the fact that Mike Ilitch was a hell of a philanthropist. Right. And one of the more popular stories that have kind of gone on or been spread around about Mike Ilitch over the course of the last couple days, man, is the fact that Mike Ilitch was actually paying the rent for civil rights icon Rosa Parks. Up until her death, there was an incident that happened, I believe, in 1994, where Rosa Parks was she was assaulted and robbed in her home. And Mike Ilitch stepped up to pay the rent for an apartment for her in downtown Detroit. And he paid that rent for her for about 10 years until her passing. As a matter of fact, let me go ahead. Let me pull this story up so you guys can check this out for yourselves. Just a second here while I pull this up. And we're going to see about this. Check this out, y'all.
Well, that's right, Dave. You know, Judge Damon Keith says this is just more proof about how the generosity of Mike and Marion Ilitch helped so many people. In fact, says the couple helped the woman who eventually became known as the mother of the civil rights movement, none other than Rosa Parks.
A journey of a million miles begins with the first step. They took the first step.
Words spoken by a man who became known as the Crusader for Justice during the Civil Rights Movement. Here is Judge Damon Keith pictured with some of his heroes, like Nelson Mandela, John F. Kennedy. It may come as a surprise. Those words were meant for the late Mike Ilitch and his surviving wife, Marion, for something the couple did that he says he'll never forget, and until recently, he hadn't told anyone.
Well, of course, they don't go around saying that, but I want to let them know how much the Ilitches not only meant to the city, but they meant so much for Rosa Parks, who was the mother of the civil rights movement.
Back in 1994, Rosa Parks lived here in Detroit. That same year, she was beaten and robbed. At the time, Judge Keith called on the community to raise enough money to get Rosa Parks out of the neighborhood she'd been living in. Keith says two guardian angels answered his call.
And Mike and Marion sent in a substantial check. In fact, I just sent it a copy of their check back to them 3 or 4 weeks ago.
Judge Keith says Mike and Marion Ilitch paid Rosa Parks rent at the Riverfront Apartments in downtown Detroit from that moment until the day Parks died more than a decade later. This is a picture of Judge Keith with a check from Mike and Marion Ilitch. He stores copies in his office as a reminder that his friends Mike and Marion Ilitch sacrificed so much for the city they loved and gave so much to those in need.
You'll never discover new oceans unless you have the courage to lose sight of the shore. Mike and Marion had the courage to lose sight of the shore, and discover new oceans. And they kept pushing Detroit, and it had not been for them, I am saying, Detroit would not be in the Renaissance that they're in now.
Back here live now, Judge Keith says this was only one reason why Mike and Marion Ilitch meant so much to him and meant so much to so many others. In fact, he told us he could have talked to us all night and shared stories all night with us about that couple and what they did for this city.
And Gino, Judge Keith also had some other...
All right, now, yeah, man, like, this is one of those things to where, you know, like, especially dealing with some of the things that we see like going on just politically, socially in America, man, where a lot of folks are looking for allies, man, and we're looking for genuine allies. We're looking for people who not only put forth the effort, but also put forth resources for those in need and those who can use that hand up to be helped out. And so to hear a story like this about Mike Ilitch, helping out a civil rights icon like the likes of a Rosa Parks when he didn't have to, you know, and he did it without fanfare. You know what I mean? Like, there's a lot of folks who, when they do charitable things, they want to be seen doing the charitable thing. You know, they want the pat on the back. They want everybody to know this is something that they're doing, where this is something that they did quietly, man, and they did it quietly for years, and they never told anybody, and it wasn't until the passing of Mike Ilitch that anybody even knew what this story was about. You know, so, you know, it's a sad day in the city of Detroit to lose someone like a Mike Ilitch, someone who invested so much money into the city, someone who has produced jobs in this city when it comes to Little Caesars, when it comes to Comerica Park, when it comes to the Fox Theater and reopening that, when it comes to the Little Caesars Arena and helping to bring the Detroit, the Detroit Pistons back to the city of Detroit, man. It's a sad thing to see someone like a Mike Ilitch go, man. And I know for some of you who like listen to the show and y'all and I've gotten some of this correspondence privately with like, yo man, spam me going in on white folks all the time. Like, yo man, I am I genuinely appreciate when folks step up and put the bullshit to the side and just do what needs to be done. And Mike Ilitch, in my opinion, just put the bullshit aside and did what needed to be done in that particular instance. And he will have my respect forever for that. And Detroit is less of a city because of the passing of a Mike Ilitch. So, yeah, rest in peace to, as they belovedly call him here in Detroit, Mr. I. And yeah, man, it's a sad day here in the Midwest, man, here in the Motor City, because of that, man. Real talk. Now, we can also talk about the passing of someone else. Now, of course, the passing of Mike Ilitch is a sad day, but not every passing in is a sad time, man. Sometimes You get somebody who dies and it's cause for fucking celebration. Real talk. And we got word that somebody died. Somebody of prominence. Somebody that nobody's really gonna miss. Not even his own fucking family. We got word that Frank Ancona, the Grand Wizard of the Ku Klux Klan in Missouri, was found shot in the head was it a river or something like that? I don't know. But all I know is when I first heard the story, all I could hear was, now, you know, you would think that his family would be all broke up about it. You would think his family would just be like, no!
Ha 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 ha
But that is not the case. His family ain't broke up about this shit at all. And you know why his family ain't broke up about this shit at all? Frank Ancona was killed by his very own wife and stepson. His very own wife and stepson couldn't stand him. It was just like,
God damn!
How bad do you have to be for your wife and stepson to take you out? You were worried about the wrong people, Jack. You were worried about the wrong people. I bet you Frank Ancona was like all over the TV talking about the black on black crime, talking about the welfare rates and how he think the black people are always looking for handouts. And he didn't see the wolf within his midst, man. He didn't see the snake in the grass. And it was right in his very own fucking home. So check this story out. I think we get this here from Inside Edition. And Inside Edition did the story on the wife and the stepson of Frank Ancona and them being arrested in his death, man. Check this out.
My husband wouldn't hurt anyone. He was generous. He was nice. He was nice to everyone I met.
Now, even there, she couldn't even produce a fucking tear, man. She couldn't even produce a tear. She hit us with the Susan Smith, man. Y'all remember Susan Smith? Susan Smith was the one woman from, I believe it was either South Carolina or North Carolina, and she drowned her two young boys. She drove the car over into like a river or a creek or something like that. The two boys drowned, and she tried to say that, you know, it was a black man that kidnapped the boys or whatever else, and we find out later that it was her. So she tried to Susan Smith us all, and turns out she was the very one who killed this man. So check this out as they tell the story.
The wife of a man who identified himself as a leader in a KKK-affiliated group is now accused of killing him. Authorities say Melissa Ancona and her son, 24-year-old Paul Jinkerson, are both charged with first-degree murder, tampering with evidence, and abandonment of a corpse for allegedly shooting Frank Ancona, whose body was found in Missouri's Big River. The 51-year-old identified himself as the Imperial Wizard of the Traditional American Knights. His photo appears on the homepage of the organization's website. Before she was charged, Melissa told a local news station she didn't know who could be responsible for his death.
He didn't think that anybody should be, like, killed or murdered or anything like that, you know. He just believes in separation of the races. I mean, I know, you know, he's with a certain organization. There's been a lot of things along the lines of threats, but I don't know.
For InsideEdition.com, I'm Mara Montalbano.
Yeah, man, like, she couldn't even produce a tear. She was dry-eyed like a motherfucker in that interview, dude. Like, she tried hard, but she couldn't get it, man. She couldn't get it at all. Hey, man, like, I have no sympathy at all for this dude, man. Fuck him. Fuck everything he stood for. Fuck what he meant to everybody. Man, fuck that dude, man. The world is greater for having him gone. Every last one of those people, if you're in the KKK, man, every last one of y'all can eat a dick. All of y'all can die. Nobody cares. Oh, man. So, yeah, man. Frank Ancona, taken out of the game by his own wife and his own stepson. And it just goes to show you, man, like, you never know. You never know, man. Like, it's, it's to me, it just feels good because of who he was and what he represented and who did it to him. Like, with all the rhetoric that gets spewed about the black on black crime, with all the rhetoric that gets spewed about, he doesn't believe in like any race being better than the other one. He just believed in separation of the races and all this other stuff, trying to bring some bullshit nuance to the situation when really at the end of the day, yeah, you do believe that your race is greater than everybody else's. Let's not be funny. Let's not be coy about it. Trying to reimagine what the KKK really is and what it represented in the history of that organization, man, fuck them. And I'm glad that his ass is gone. And I hope he's burning in hell right now. And I wish I had that goddamn Samuel L. Jackson clip right fucking now. Jesus. So yeah, man, Frank Ancona kicked the bucket, croaked, out of here. All of that other good shit, right? So that's going on, man. That's going on. But We got some better news too, man. We got some better news. It can't all be about death and destruction and all of that other stuff, man. We got some other news that's going on, man. And right now, we got our segment that we haven't had a chance to actually, we haven't had a chance to really talk about these things the course of the last couple of weeks, man. But it's time. It is sexy time with Mr. Span.
Baby, it's sexy time with Mr. Span.
All right, man. All right. Now, Sexy Time with Mr. Span is back, and we are happy to have it back. And we got this story, man. This CNBC is reporting this. And let's just say, Playboy is bringing back the new pictures, y'all. Playboy, like, look here, man. Yo, we trying to be legitimate. We trying to be, you know, hard hitting. We trying to be respectable. We're trying to be the place you go for legitimate news, man. And yo, it wasn't working for them. It wasn't working. I'm pretty sure they lost subscriptions. I'm pretty sure they weren't moving as many issues as they thought they could have without the titties and without the ass, right? So, and CNBC is reporting that after a year of keeping his magazine models clad, Playboy has decided all natural is the way to go after all. The magazine announced on Monday nude women will grace his pages once again. The March-April issue cover boasts the appropriate headline, Naked is the New Normal. Okay. Chief Creative Officer Cooper Hefner said on Twitter the way the magazine previously featured nude models was dated, but he believed getting rid of all nudity was not the right choice. Nudity was never the problem because nudity isn't a problem, Hefner, who is the son of founder Hugh Hefner, posted on Twitter. Today we're taking our identity back and reclaiming who we are. Now, I will say this, man. I have read the Playboy magazine for the articles. I know that it's like a, some people look at it as if it's like an urban legend that you can't really find any good articles in the Playboy magazine. But yes, I've read some really good articles, man. One of my favorite broadcasters, man, Bomani Jones of ESPN, has written a few articles for Playboy magazine. He actually had a an interview with Ta-Nehisi Coates sometime last year, man, that he did that was featured in Playboy magazine, man. I suggest you guys go and check that out. There are a lot of really good articles that are in that magazine. Unfortunately, I wouldn't even necessarily say unfortunately. It's wrapped around, yo, it, you know, you flip another page and there's some titties right there, just like randomly. There's titties and there's ass and there's vagina, and you like, okay, you get distracted, and before long you ain't even reading the goddamn article no more. You like, yo, goddamn, you know. So, I think, you know, what ended up happening was, man, with the publication is that, yo, man, people was like, yo, man, where the titties at? And truth be told, man, they were moving units because of the titties and because of the naked women. Let's not be funny about it. Let's not be fake about it. There's a lot of dudes who, although they get the articles, they do read the articles, they also looking for, yo, who is that on the cover? And is there any more of her inside? That's just the bottom line, man. So Playboy previously told CNBC it had adopted the non-nude policy to get more mainstream readers and advertisers. In May 2015, the company launched a Safer at Work app. Less than a year later, the magazine did away with naked women. The first issue in the new format was March of 2016, which hit 1,200 more newsstands and had 55.5% increase in advertising compared to the issue from the year before. See, that's another thing, too. The advertisers. I know a lot of the magazines want the advertisements. Unfortunately, like, a lot of folks are trying to get the fuck away from the advertisements, right? That's why you got people who, like, you got the Adblock Plus. A lot of folks, you know, use the Adblock Plus plugin to get away from the ads on Facebook, on YouTube, on all of these other websites. And I know a lot of these websites are making their money off of the advertisements, but some of those advertisements are fucking intrusive, right? And I know in the magazine format, it's not so much the same thing, but like, yo, if you flipping all the pages and you look up and you're like, yo, man, it's way too many goddamn ads in here. I would much rather have more actual content, more actual articles. And if you're going to replace the naked women with ads, man, I'll pass. Real talk. I mean, that's the attitude that a lot of dudes will have reading those magazines. Like, yo, you mean to tell me you took the women out so you could sell me more shit? Nah, I'm cool. I can get the ad. I could actually, you know, there's other ways for me to read this article and I can bypass these ads altogether. It happens every day. So I think what happened is that they saw that dip in their subscriber numbers. They saw that dip in the actual number of issues being bought. It's like, yo, man, we got to get back to the TNA, man. We can't keep doing this. We can't sustain this business this way. We got to stop. We got to bring the TNA back. So, yeah, Sexy Time with Mr. Span announces that the Playboy magazine is bringing back the news, man. They bringing the TNA back. So rejoice to all of y'all who like reading Playboy, because I can't tell you the last time I read a Playboy. It had to been shit. I wouldn't even say college, even before then. Was on the Blacktail and Hustler and shit like that. Right? So, yeah, man, that's going on. Now, one thing that I kind of wanted to talk to you guys about, and this is the reason why this particular episode is called Sensitivity, right? I made mention of this Sunday when I had Rod and Karen over, the Black Guy Who Tips, on here with me last week. And I want to thank them again for coming on. But during the Ass Hat of the Week segment, I was talking about Cheryl Underwood and her coming to the defense of George Lopez. One thing I did not do was I did not actually talk in depth about my feelings about George Lopez and what he did during the comedy set that even sparked the whole thing where Cheryl Underwood and D.L. Hughley felt that they had to come to the defense of George Lopez, right? And so for those of you who may not necessarily be familiar with this story or haven't, you know, heard anything about it, basically what happened is this, man. George Lopez was doing a set and there was a woman who kind of objected to the joke that he was telling, and he addressed her in a very forceful way. And we got the video here, so let me pull this video up so you guys can check it out. And we're going to play exactly what it was that George Lopez said. I'm not going to paraphrase it. We're just going to let this go ahead and play out. Check this out, y'all.
There's still two rules in the fucking Latinos family. Don't marry somebody black. And don't park in front of our house. Sit your fucking ass down. Sit your fucking ass down. Sit your fucking ass down. I'm talking, bitch. Sit your fucking ass down.
All right. Now, he was no longer in the joke. Like, once he, like, the woman stood up, and you could see her. She kind of stood up and she gave him two middle fingers as he did the joke. But as he walked past, he, you know, told her to sit her fucking ass down and told, you know, bitch, sit your ass down. I'm doing the talking. You come here to see a show and everything else, right? And I've seen so many people kind of go out of their way, you know, to kind of jump to George Lopez's defense, right? Now, the thing with, like, the comedians who come to the defense of George Lopez, I can't say that I'm surprised, right? Excuse me, I'm not a comic. I know some comics, right? I know a couple comics. Friend of the show, Corey Boy Bell. Really good friend of mine. We went to high school together. She's a comedian. I've another friend, Detroit Boat, Ardell Boatwright. Another friend of the show, right? So I know comics. And I know, like, you know, there are certain things with being a comic that, you know, like, you understand being there up on the stage trying to make a room laugh and trying to, get everybody to come around to your sense of humor, you know, to bring laughter to everybody in this room. And I understand how difficult a thing that can be because of the sensibilities of a lot of different people. You never know how people are going to feel in the room or whatever else, right? And so even with giving Cheryl Underwood the Asshat of the Week award last Sunday, man, like, my beef wasn't so much her defense of my beef was the rush for folks to say that George Lopez, you know, wasn't racist and all these other things, right? It's like, yo, like, we tend to do this a lot. I see a lot of times, man, if somebody of another race kind of fucks up, a lot of times their black friends rush to their defense, like, no, he's not racist. And it's like, yo, man, just, he kind of fucked up. Let him learn from this particular incident, and maybe don't do it again. He doesn't fuck up again. He can learn from it, as opposed to always trying to quell the way people are feeling and their reactions and their genuine reactions to what he did, right? And so I know some people may look at, you know, giving her Asshat of the Week last week, earlier this week, as a bit unfair, right? And I can accept that. Where folks can, you know, say that was a little bit unfair. But while I was earlier in the week, man, while I was discussing this topic, you know, on Facebook and on Twitter with folks, man, there was this sense of, you know, she got what she deserved. You know, she shouldn't have, you know, acted out in the way that she did. And that's also true. Right? Nobody comes to the show to see a heckler. Nobody comes to the show and wants to see the person in the audience acting out when they paid money to go see this performer do their thing. I get that. No, I'm not. And the thing really is, man, I haven't seen anybody actually defend this woman and her actions. I think a lot of folks are just like, yo, what she did was fucked up, but how he handled it was even more fucked up because of his position, because of his professionalism or lack thereof in that particular instance, where, you know, I've been to comedy shows, man. I've seen comics handle a room in a certain way, man. Like, you see somebody walking in late and he just, you know, they make point, like, they'll make a point to say, yo, you just gonna walk in on my set, like, you just, like, you king shit or something, and start talking shit about folks, man. And it's all jokes. People laugh, people are like, yeah, you got me, you know what I'm saying? And it diffuses the entire situation. Where the beef that I had with George Lopez in that particular moment was like, yo, it wasn't a joke anymore. My man was going at her, like, going at her, right? And so, you know, I'm talking amongst friends and stuff like that, and we're discussing this issue, and it was weird to watch brothers, like, kind of be like, yo, man, like, I've seen dudes sit around talk about women listening to rap music. And they're listening to rap music means that they can't be offended by what happened to this woman, right? So, yeah, they listening to rap, so they get called bitches and hoes and rap all the time. Why she getting mad that she getting called a bitch right now? Not necessarily understanding that listening or hearing the word bitch passively is a hell of a lot different than actually being called a bitch, right? And even still, If you and your girlfriend or you and your wife, you go to a show and you listen to hip hop, you know what I'm saying? I was listening to hip hop to start this motherfucking show, but you're listening to hip hop on your way to the show, and it, you know, the rappers or whoever the fuck is saying, yo, bitch this, hoe this, yada yada yada. She's enjoying the song because the song isn't about her. Then you get to this comedy show and the comic on the stage calls your wife or your girlfriend a bitch. A lot of you niggas are sitting around acting like y'all would be cool with that, which is kind of bitch made, right? Kind of bitch made to act like y'all would be cool with that. Because it's like, you can't understand the difference between being called a bitch and listening to a rap song. Like, you making this comparison and the comparison doesn't fit. It's a false equivalency if there ever was one. But the comparison to, say, for instance, what's my man's name? Kramer from Jerry Seinfeld show. I forget that guy's name. Shit, fuck him. But you guys know who I'm talking about. He did, you know, he went on his whole nigger rant doing a set where, you know, he was straight up bombing. And niggas could see, like, yo, there's something fucked up about this guy going off, just calling us niggas and everything else. You listen to rap music, too. You hear the word nigga on those rap songs, too. But never once do you say it's cool for this white dude on this stage to call you a nigga. Right? So it's the disconnect. There's a disconnect between dudes when it comes to misogyny and when it comes to racism, especially with the brothers. There's a disconnect. Like, they can understand being challenged and being disrespected racially. They have no concept of being disrespected sexually or experience misogyny. And they have no empathy towards, or they have no sense of empathy towards what's going on there, right? So in the midst of having these conversations with folks, I'm seeing people say, like, man, you know, y'all being way too sensitive, man. Y'all being way too sensitive. Like, if you go to a comedy show, man, you know, you got to be able to take a joke, man. You got to be able to, you know, understand what comedy is and all these other things, man. Y'all being way too sensitive. And it's like, yo, everything isn't about being sensitive. Sometimes players fuck up. It happens. Sometimes players fuck up. In this particular instance, I kind of feel like George Lopez fucked up. He didn't have to handle that situation in the way that he did. He didn't need a whole rush of all these other people coming to his defense because he needed to learn what he did was fucked up. Now, he's owned up to his shit. He's like, yo, it is what it is. He don't give a fuck. And I can respect that. But at the same time, to tell everybody who has an issue with what's going on sensitive shows that you really are kind of out of touch with what's going on. Right? Everything isn't about people being sensitive. Right? Just because you can accept a certain amount of disrespect doesn't mean that somebody else is obligated to do the same thing also. No one's obligated to be disrespected in any motherfucking way whatsoever. And your line may be different from somebody else's. That doesn't make them sensitive. That just means that their line is somewhere other than yours. And it's one of those things, man, where well, folks talk about being sensitive. Like, yo, man, y'all way too sensitive, man. Like, y'all can't take a joke. Like, yo, how about if the joke ain't fucking funny? Right? Like, sometimes you think you funny and you really not. And you just saying something that's kind of fucked up. And nobody's laughing. And it's not because they don't have a sense of humor. It's because your ass ain't funny. Has it ever, you know, has that thought ever, like, entered the brain of some of y'all? Sometimes shit is fucked up. And sometimes shit needs to be called out for what it is. Doesn't make anybody sensitive. Doesn't make them lacking of sense of humor. Doesn't mean that they're thin-skinned or any of those things, man. But because folks don't, you know, you call folks sensitive when they disagree with your levels of fuckery. There are some people who have multiple levels of fuckery, and then there's other people who have levels of fuckery, and the tolerance for the fuckery kind of decreases depending on what it is. Doesn't make them sensitive. Just means that they don't want to put up with the bullshit at this level. That's it. So the dismissal of how people are interpreting and how people feel about certain things is something that I think a lot of brothers got to kind of start taking heed to. It's not a beta male thing. It's not a it's not a simp thing. It's not a alpha male. All these other bullshit terms that niggas come up with to, you know, to justify they BS, man. Real talk. Let's just call that shit what it is. It's a lot of bullshit terms niggas come up with to justify their bullshit. Folks don't have to deal with certain shit. Now, when it comes to this particular issue, I feel like George Lopez stepped over the line. He did not have to call that woman out of her name in the way that he did. Now, this woman has come out and she said that, you know, she wasn't offended, and other people who are offended, they need to, like, mind their business and find something to be mad about and everything else. Like, yo, man, unfortunately, because this is out in the atmosphere, the same way that I would talk about with when people are parenting their kids for the internet, man. Yo, once it's out there, yo, you're going to get all of the opinions, whether you like it or not. The only thing is, like, once it's out there, like, people only want to curry the favor of those who agree with them, right? So, like, you say you're not offended, then fine, but fuck everybody else that maybe was offended. Just like when parents put videos of them beating the hell out of their kids and they put it on social media, they're like, well, if CPS gets called, if Child Protective Services get called to their house, all of a sudden they mad. Because people can't mind their business. Like, yo, you kind of put us in your business. And this lady did this in a public forum. So folks are going to have an opinion on it, whether you like it or not. Forgive a lot of, like, it's funny. Like, you got to forgive a lot of folks for being upset on your behalf. Ain't that some shit? Right? You got to forgive people for having your back on in some shit. Oh, I wasn't offended. I would go to his show and all his other things, man. The man called you a bitch. Now, had that been my wife, it'd have been some issues. I probably would have been rushing that motherfucker stage, beating the fuck out of George Lopez, but that's just me. Right? But this idea that because folks are willing to call out bullshit when they do, and because you don't understand, your mind can't wrap your mind around the idea that having empathy for somebody else is virtue. It's not a liability. It's a virtue to be able to be empathetic, to be able to understand how somebody else feels. And it helps you to become a better fucking human being. Right? That's what we really want. Better fucking human beings. Being able to put yourself in someone else's position, put yourself in someone else's shoes, and understand how someone could be feeling in that moment and how you would react in that moment if it was directed towards you. It's a powerful thing, man. But so many people, man, like when folks fuck up, as opposed to letting people fuck up and calling out their fuck ups, we got so many people ready to make excuses for these people that it's almost like fucking up isn't a thing anymore. Right? We make excuses for every fucking thing. And then when somebody calls it out, oh man, they're being PC. Oh man, they're just being sensitive. Oh man, they just, the social justice warriors is at it again. Look at them crying about this shit. And really, it's just a check on you being a dick. It's a check on that. And it's a lot of y'all motherfuckers out here who don't like the check. Who don't like being told that, yo, you fucking up out here. That's really what it's about, man. Let's just make it plain. It's a lot of cats out here fucking up, wannabe fuck ups. And rather than deal with being called a fuck up, they being sensitive. The social justice warriors, the PC mafia that ain't killed nobody. All of these different things, man. So, I kind of feel like I just needed to kind of explain myself a little bit more on that, because this was a kind of a thing that was going on my personal Facebook over the course of the week, man. It was a conversation that I wasn't really like trying to have. I was just like, look at this shit. And then it became a thing of whether or not, you know, women listening to rap music is legitimate for them to be disrespected, and it didn't make sense, man. It didn't make any motherfucking sense at all, man. So that's kind of how I feel about the whole thing with George Lopez, man. Like I said, the whole thing with Cheryl Underwood and giving her the Ass Hat of the Week award, man. I understand how some can look at that and see that as being unfair. But at that particular moment in time, that's how I felt, man. Like, yo, we got to stop coming to these motherfuckers' rescue every time they fuck up out here. That's just how I feel about it. Somebody out here fucking up, especially culturally or racially or whatever, every time somebody comes out here and fuck up, they don't need that black savior to come and cape for them. They don't need that. Let them absorb some of this ass whooping. Let them absorb some of this spanking, man. Let them get understand what it is and where it is that they fucked up, as opposed to coming to cape for them all the time. And that's how I felt about D.L. Hughley. That's how I felt about Cheryl Underwood coming to George Lopez's defense. And that's why Cheryl Underwood got the ass out of the week this past Sunday, man. Real talk. But, yeah, enough about George Lopez and enough about bitches and hoes and all that other shit, man. We are up to another episode. Another episode of the Special HOTEP Unit.
In the black community, pseudo-consciously based offenses are considered especially heinous. In the Yonk Right, the dedicated misogynists who perpetuate frauds are members of an elite squad known as a Special HOTEP Unit. These are their stories.
All right, man. Now, so the Special HOTEP Unit has another inductee. As a matter of fact, inductee, is it almost like the ass hat in a champ? I don't know. I don't know. But the we got a new member of the Special HOTEP Unit, man. Now it takes a you can't just get into the Special HOTEP Unit, man. Of course, like I said, you got to give yourself a title, and this person has. You got to say some ashy HOTEP-y ass shit, and you got to be consistent with it. This person has been, and this isn't the first time that I've heard of this person, but this story was like a head scratcher like a motherfucker, man. So I kind of got wind of this story about the alt-right and the HOTEPs coming together, forming an alliance, because they kind of want some of the same things, right? Now, if you've been listening to me here at the Spare Report, man, this is something that you already know. I've been saying this for quite some time, that a lot of the dudes, a lot of these HOTEP ass motherfuckers don't give a damn about the elevation and the respect and the equality afforded to the lives of African Americans overall in this country, right? They don't give a damn about that. What they really want is to be on par with white men. Most of your HOTEPs tend to be, you know, black men. They want to be on par with white men. So this is what they do. Like with, excuse me, with someone like a Nate Parker, who was accused of sexual assault. They will promote his movie, God Be Damn. Like they don't care anything about what's going on with it. And there's some sort of conspiracy that this story even came up, right? Or Bill Cosby can be accused of raping over 50 women or sexually assaulting over 50 women and drugging these women to take sexual advantage of them, to be able to do that. And then they compare him to the father from Seventh Heaven and say, well, he got away with this. Why can't Bill Cosby get away with this? These false equivalencies, you know, they want to be like, they want to be on the same playing field as white men. They don't give a damn about equality across the board for black people in general. Right? They just want, if truth be told, they really don't even want equality with white men. They just want to replace white men on the hierarchy and continue the same sort of oppressive practices that a lot of that white men produce. Right? This is what's wrong with a lot of HOTEPs. This is why we make fun of them here at the Spare Report. This is why we talk shit about them. This is why we do not fucking respect these dickheads. Right? So, I came across this story, man, about the alliance, supposedly, of the alt-right and the HOTEP movement. And there was this guy, man, and I've seen this guy before. I've seen this guy, unfortunately, the first time. You know how, like, you only get first one time to make a good impression? Like, the first time I seen this dude, he was saying some bullshit about Sandra Bland being killed because of Black Lives Matter. Like, Black Lives Matter killed Sandra Bland. That was the name of his fucking video, right? Now, this dude goes by the name of Ali Shakur. I don't know if that's his government name really or not, or if that was some shit he just came up with because he thought it was cool and that was Tupac's last name and all the other shit. But his HOTEP name, man, is Third Eye Jedi, right? So he's giving himself a title, Third Eye Jedi. Remember, those are the rules of being a HOTEP, man. You got to give yourself a title. Got to give yourself a title. So Third Eye Jedi does his video. He writes his article on, what's the name of this website? HOTEPNation.com. They have a website. HotepNation.com about an alliance between the elements of the alt-right movement and the Hoteps. An alliance between the two, right? So after he writes his article, he does his video, and he starts talking about the Hoteps aligning with white nationalists and the alt-right. But while he's doing it, he actually takes a little bit of a detour and starts talking about Betsy DeVos, the now confirmed Secretary of Education of the United States. Check this. Just check some of this bullshit out.
All right, let's go into this article. Let's talk DeVos. All right. So we got this white lady who is supposed to be in charge of education for the federal government, right? Cool. Trump brought her in, whatever, right? Now blacks, because the liberal media who controls their minds has told them to be upset, blacks are upset. But here's the catch.
Okay. I'm from Michigan. I am familiar with the policies of Betsy DeVos because Betsy DeVos's policies have had a massive effect here in the state of Michigan. I didn't need the media to tell me a motherfucking thing. Not one thing, right? So Betsy DeVos and her school choice policies and everything else has helped to gut a lot of the public education in a lot of the cities here in Michigan, right? So you look at that. And I'll just say this, every school that I went to growing up here in the city of Detroit, every last one of them are closed. My elementary school was closed. My middle school, both of them were closed. The high school that I went to was closed. Every school that I went to here was closed. You got a lot of kids who are being bused to schools in other areas because the schools in their neighborhoods are no longer fucking open, right? And so those of us who can get our kids to schools outside of the city, outside of the district, my daughter goes to a charter school right now, but a lot of these charter schools are for profit, right? They are for profit institutions. Some of these kids are paying tuition to go to these schools because there are no elementary, middle, or high schools in their district that they should be going to for free. So one of the only options that they have will be to go to some of these charter schools where they pay certain fees in order to be able to go to that school. Betsy DeVos's policies have gutted the Detroit public schools here in Michigan. So for this dickhead to get himself on YouTube and say, well, you know, black folks are just mad because the liberal media told them to be mad and they don't know anything. But like, yo, motherfucker, I live in a state where this shit came, like, actually happened. And the amount of anti-blackness in that very statement, like, yo, so black people aren't capable of thinking for themselves. The liberal media has brainwashed these black. I'm woke. See, I got my third eye. I'm the third eye Jedi. Nigga, get the fuck out of here. But this is the level of disconnection that a lot of these Hotep ashy ass niggas have. They think that they're more elevated than other black folks. This is why this nigga think that he's okay. This is why this nigga thinks that he's on the same plane and they're looking for the same level of connection with the alt-right. They think that these other niggas is on some bullshit. They think that they are elevated amongst black people, so they have common cause with the alt-right. It's amazing, man. It's amazing. But there's more.
You know, blacks complain and say, oh, it's going to be segregation. We're not going to have access to the same schools. But if you look right now, blacks are having to line up for lotteries to get into some of these better charter schools. You got?
Yes, some of them are. Betsy DeVos's policies here in Michigan had a hell of a lot to do with that.
A video right now floating around where you see a grandma with her child and it's like, better luck next year. So it appears to me the Democrats have been blocking the blacks from getting the education they need and how. It's through the teachers union, you know, and then basically the teachers union has fought alongside the Democrats with the federal government to limit the amount of charter schools allowed within particular regions.
Now, why would they do that? Oh, I don't know. To make sure that there were public schools available so that these kids can go to schools for free, maybe? So that these kids can go to schools within their area, within their district, and have these schools with the proper resources and the proper amount of funding needed to help that school run and be functioning and be successful. See, another thing too, man, and it's always funny, man. He's talking about the teachers union, and I've seen people say this, man. Like, folks are blaming the teachers. Folks are blaming the teachers for wanting to be paid well. These people have your children for 6 to 8 hours out of the day. Same way that you kind of spend a lot more time with your people at work than you do with your own family. Your kids are with these people majority of the day, right? These people are molding the minds of your children, the most important resource that we have. And yet we would find, or we would begrudge a teacher for wanting to be paid what they're worth. Excuse me. We'll begrudge a teacher that. For wanting to be paid what they're worth. For dealing with some of the issues that these kids come to school with, man. Some of these kids are dealing with issues at home, and the teachers are bearing the brunt of that. Some of these teachers are dealing with conditions in these schools where the schools aren't well funded, where the schools don't have the resources, where the teacher is going into their own pocket and buying supplies for their classroom, for their students. You've got schools where the teachers are actually asking the children to bring in supplies like toilet paper for the lavatories. Things like that. And so we look at these teachers like you got so many people who are looking at these teachers as if the teachers, the people who are molding the minds of our children, are part of the problem. Like they're the issue. When really the issue is the priorities and how we spend the money when it comes to our children's education. That's the biggest thing. Where you got a president and Donald Trump who would much rather try to spend $20 billion on a fucking wall as opposed to putting that money into the education of our nation, right? You take one F-16 fighter jet, cost you about $60 to $70 million, and you can pretty much fund a goddamn school district somewhere for the entire year. One jet. And you can fund an entire school district for a year. Our priorities are fucked up. So when you got one jet going for $60 million and we got thousands of them, and you're talking to me about whether or not teachers are should be compensated in the ways in which teachers should be compensated, because they aren't compensated in the ways in which they should. It's a whole lot of teachers who do the job because they love to teach kids, man. They love the kids. It has absolutely nothing to do with the pay, because the pay ain't shit for a lot of them. It takes a love to do that sort of job, man. It takes that kind of thing. So, again, the disconnect with the ashy hotep nigga and how they look at the world and how they think this shit works is amazing. It's amazing to watch this nigga like he's the thing is, he thinks he's being deep. He thinks he's saying some shit nobody's ever fucking heard before. He thinks he's got this shit figured out. When really he's just talking shit. He's just talking shit. But there's more.
Because the teachers, of course, want their guap. They want their guap, they want their money, they want their moolah, they want their currency, they want their fiat notes. And I get that. I get that. But when you look at people who want to build schools for blacks, rich, wealthy blacks, and they say, we want to build a charter school for black kids with black teachers and a black curriculum, they can't do so because You have these restrictions and regulations on how many charter schools can go within a particular region. So blacks are worried about this thing called segregation, but they need to be segregating because integration isn't working. Ever since integration, we've gone completely downhill. And if you look at my video, Integration was Infiltration, that lives on my YouTube. You can go get the scoop on that.
This nigga said it lives on my YouTube. It lives on my YouTube. Man, listen. This is almost the same sort of rhetoric that we hear from someone like an Umar Johnson, who talks about his trying to build a school and him trying to get the funding for the school and everything else. But this here, to me, sounds like, yo, they got regulations and shit. Why do I gotta follow regulations? Listen, as I said before, our children are our most valuable resource. They're the ones who are going to take care of us when we can't do anything anymore. This world is going to be theirs. They're going to inherit whatever bullshit it is that we leave them. One would hope that we set the priorities in place to where our children are successful, that our children are prepared for the world that is coming before them. So when you put someone like a Betsy DeVos, whose policies have decimated public education in her home state, and then she has now the opportunity to do that nationally, is scary. And to suggest that black people are only mad because the media told them to be is bullshit. Complete and utter bullshit. And this is why, what's this dude's name? Ali Shakur, or as he calls himself, Third Eye Jedi, is part of the special Hotep unit here at the Spare Report Podcast, man, real talk. But it is time for me to get up out of here, man. I've been going on long enough. But before I get out of here, of course, I got to let you guys know how to get in touch with me here at the Spare Report Podcast, man, and let your voice be heard. You can hit me up at the hotline at area code 313-288-0485. That's area code 313-288-0485. Leave those voicemail messages. I'll play them on the show and respond in kind. You can also email me at feedback@thesparereport.com. That's feedback@thesparereport.com, man. Leave me those emails, man. Leave those emails, and I'll read those emails here live on the show and respond in kind as well. Also, hit me up on Twitter and Instagram. My name on both of those platforms is Mr. _Span, so go ahead and follow me there, man. Chop it up with me throughout the week so we can talk about all the shit. Also, go to YouTube, man. Subscribe to the show, man. The Span Report. Go to The Span Report on YouTube. Subscribe to the show. Get alerted when I go live. Participate in the chat room. Call the show live when I open up those phone lines, man. So go ahead to the YouTube. Type in The Span Report. Subscribe to the show and be a part of what we're doing over here, man. Real talk. And for all of your Span Report needs, go to www.thespanreport.com. Everything's available there. The podcast, the polls, man. Go ahead and vote in the poll for the all-time greatest hood movies, man. We're down to the final four, man. As a matter of fact, the final four movies, let me see which ones are those. The final four movies are Boys in the Hood, Set It Off, surprisingly. I didn't expect that to get into the top four, but Set It Off, Menace to Society, and Juice. Boys in the Hood, Set It Off, Menace to Society, and Juice are the final four all-time greatest hood movies, man. So go ahead and go vote in that poll. Let us know, man. Let us know what you think is the greatest hood movie of all time, man. So go to thespanreport.com and you can do that. You can leave comments there. You can donate to the show there. Everything is available there. The t-shirts and everything. I got my t-shirt on right now, man. One of my t-shirts. You can go to thespanreport.com and get yourself a t-shirt as well, man. Real talk. But it is time for me to get out of here. I appreciate everybody in the chat room. I appreciate everybody that's going to listen later on. But until next time, fam, I'll talk to you guys later. Peace.